called Twistable Turnable Man.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
You are listening to Grand Theft Audio with the kings of internet radio, Jake Belcher, Brant Thoman.
And you are right on time for Grand Theft Audio Radio. This is Brant Thoman. My co-host Jake Belcher is en route. Unfortunately, some MTA issues have kept him from getting to the studio in time. But fortunately, we do have a special co-host this morning. We've got our good friend Eamon Van Dyke, who has joined us in the past, and he is here with me in studio now. Eamon, thanks for coming in, man.
Glad to be here.
How you doing this morning?
Lovely.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. So we're here at Skid Row Studios in the heart of downtown Los Angeles, and this is the very, very first time I've had to be the opening intro person to any of our shows. Jake has never missed a single Grand Theft Audio show. He is not missing it. He just hasn't. This is the first time he's ever been even late to an episode. So,
how are you feeling?
I was a little nervous at first, but once I saw how easy this really looks like it is, it wasn't as intimidating as I thought it was going to be. So, anyway, he is en route, and we're going to get you guys started off for the first couple of minutes until he does arrive.
Sounds good. How you been doing?
Good. Since the last time we saw you?
Fantastic.
Just, good.
Been promoting and doing a little acting on the side and working on my clothing line.
Just excellent.
Just keeping busy.
You doing some extra work?
Some extra background work, and then working on a student film for USC.
Oh, awesome.
Should be fun. Like,
are you just part of the team? Or are you like the producer or the director?
I'm going to be doing some acting in the film.
Oh, right on.
One of my friends that goes there.
Cool. So, yeah, you're just one of the talent.
Just one of the talent.
Great. Hopefully craft services will be pretty decent. Those SC students better have some money.
I just eat trail mix.
Hey, amen. That's good. That's good craft services for a student film. So if they've got trail mix for you, you're set.
Yeah.
That'll give you plenty of energy to get through.
Get me through. But last night, actually, I wanted to say we were over there at the in Santa Monica. And
Yeah. I know that you and Jake went out to see a comedy show out there at the West Side Comedy Theaters. How was that? Was it a good show?
Not the hugest turnout, but some good stand-ups.
Tuesdays are a tough night. We've tried Tuesdays in the past for comedy shows, and Tuesdays are really tough. It seems like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, very easy to get people to come in. But that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is a little tough. So,
On the promotional side, I mean, you definitely got the new network out there, and so that was fantastic.
So anyway, what else has been going on with you? What have you been following? What did you bring for us today to talk about?
I've been watching a little bit of the Lakers.
Just a little bit?
Kind of disappointing. Yeah. I was at that show, and then I think we caught the last, I want to say like a minute 30 left in the game. And
they were already down by way too much.
Yeah, I mean, they were down in the game the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, they made a nice comeback. I mean, they had a couple of 3-point shots that could have tied the game and sent it into overtime, but Kobe just couldn't hit that one last night.
It happens, you know.
Yeah. Hey, man, Denver's still a good team. They got some talent there. So I didn't expect the Lakers to go out and sweep. I mean, no one expected the Kings to go out and sweep St. Louis. I mean, there's never been an 8th seed that's ever taken out the number 1 and number 2 seeds in hockey playoffs. So
I think that's one of the most amazing things in sports right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, I mean, even if you're not a hockey fan, I mean, that's still
it's pretty awesome. The two teams that are going to face off for the Western Conference it's going to be the Kings, who haven't been there since 93.
Wow.
And then you've got the Phoenix Coyotes, who have never gotten this far in the playoffs. So this is their first appearance in this conference title. So one of these two teams is going to wind up going to the Stanley Cup, and I'm really excited because they're, you know, LA, that'd be great if they could get back there. It's been way too long since we were there, and we haven't had the talent that we had back then until this last year. And I mean, so many people thought that the Kings were going to take the entire division, but they snuck into the playoffs, but they started clicking at the perfect time.
I mean, that was funny, you know, like hearing the interviews of the team, the players, they said, we knew we had the talent. They said, we couldn't figure out what we're missing. And they said, once we got on the same page, just been playing together as a unit, and their results have obviously shown.
Yeah,
as you can see. So
did you catch any SportsCenter last night, or see any of the highlights of what's been going on sports wise?
I saw a bit of the Celtics game, mm-hmm. which was another, I don't know.
Decent
series, but what do you say? You know, the Celtics are probably going to take it. But
Ryan, did you watch any of the baseball highlights?
Didn't see any baseball.
Well, only the 16th player in the history of baseball, Josh Hamilton, yesterday hit 4 home runs in a single game.
Wow. Were there runners on?
They were all 2-run shots, like, so he had 8 RBIs. He touched a total of 18 bases in his entire, because he went 5-for-5.
Wow.
With, I believe, a single as the only other hit.
Been done before?
Last one was in 2003, but again, there's only been 16 players to have ever been able to do that since, 1898, when MLB got going. So, it's kind of amazing. I mean, I've actually gotten a little more into baseball this year for the first time in a long time. And part of it is just, you know, like I grew up an Angels fan. I still am an Angels fan. I will always be an Angels fan. I like the Dodgers, sure, and I love seeing LA teams do well, but... You know, the Dodgers, I mean, the Angels, we've been sitting there waiting for Pujols to start hitting and start, you know, we spent so much money to get him to come out here and to go 110 at bats without even sending one out of the park was kind of frustrating. But, you know, the stick heated up a little bit, and
I think what the thing it is that you transfer over to LA and they expect instant results.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a player like from the Dodgers, Matt Kemp was saying, you know, they're just so hard on Pujols. You know, they know he's got talent. It's mm-hmm. gonna. Who knows when it's in? When it does hit, and they're playing against a team, it's gonna be amazing.
And this is nothing to the heat he would be taking if this was in New York and this was happening. If he was a Yankee and he had gone this many, the boos would have started so much earlier. I mean, it was for his 111th at bat when he finally got the home run that he actually was being booed as he went out there because he had yet to really produce. Batting percentage is abhorrent right now. He's just over I think he's just over 200 right now, but he's a consistent 326 hitter. So if he, you know, gets back into the swing of things and starts playing the way we expect him to, he's still going to wind up hitting over 300 for the season. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm saying I'm the biggest baseball fan, but do you think it's the league that he's in? Do you think it's at a higher stature or is it just,
I think he's getting used to the American League. I mean, it definitely is different. He's facing pitchers that he hasn't had to face before other than in the inner league play. There aren't many pitchers he's going to have gone up against. So I think he's just kind of getting used to it. I think he's getting used to his surroundings and to his team. I'm not worried about it. I'm disappointed that he hasn't been able to produce as many home runs as we all expected so far. But there's no doubt in my mind he'll have a week where he'll go out there and hit 7 home runs over 5 or 6 games. And we'll all sit there and go, oh, hey, look, he's back. Great.
That's kind of a Los Angeles mentality, though. They expect instant results.
Oh, yeah.
Instant results.
Well, I mean, look at the Clippers. I mean, when Blake Griffin drafted him and then he had to sit out that first season because of injury, there was an expectation that the Clippers were going to be good that year, and they couldn't because he got hurt. And now that they got CP3 and him there, we're getting that instant gratification. They're winning, and they're winning well. It's so funny. The team in that series with the Memphis Grizzlies, the Memphis Grizzlies have held the lead for more minutes in the entire series, but the Clippers have wound up with the most points in 3 of the 4 games so far. So, I mean, they're doing it the way they have to. Even if it's coming from behind, it's still a win. And I mean, I don't expect them to go too much farther beyond this series because they're going to go up against San Antonio, and they're just a monster this season. Amazing to watch them.
So what have you been up to, though, yourself?
Let's see. Yesterday was a very long day. I had a double shift, so I really didn't get a chance to watch much of the TV I usually like to watch on my afternoons. And I was catching up on SportsCenter this morning to see what I missed because I want to be able to know what's going on. So it was an interesting day in sports yesterday, but you know, that's been about it. Because of that, I wasn't able to go. I mean, Jake had invited me to come out to that show last night, but I was unable to make it out just because of the work shift. But you know, he understands. I work a regular job, and I got to be able to pay my bills and pay my rent. So it was just an unfortunate circumstance for that week. So
glad you're here and made this. So
well, thanks. Sorry about that. Had to confirm with Eamon something there real quick, but my apologies for the 30 seconds, not even that, the 12 seconds of dead air that you all had to listen to there. Well, let's see. Other news this week, what have we got?
I'm still trying to, I mean, what is your take on the, is it the John Travolta situation? I mean, heard of this or, yeah. I mean, I was heard it on the radio snippets. I'm not certain this.
There's a male masseuse who claims that John Travolta sexually assaulted him during a massage. Like started touching his legs and then went to grab for his genitals and tried to perform a sex act on him. The problem is the date that this guy who's suing John Travolta claims it happened. Travolta was in New York. And they have evidence of that. I mean, it's like the day you say this happened, it couldn't have happened. He wasn't even here. So this is just a bullshit lawsuit that this guy is filing. I think it's ridiculous that something like this, it's trending at the top of Yahoo right now. And it's just like, really? Do any of us really believe that this is something he's going to do?
I mean, there's going to be a trickle down theory, though. I mean, more skeletons going to start coming out of the closet. I mean, or is that...
I don't know. I mean, there's always been the rumor that Travolta might be gay or bisexual, one of the two, because he has been married. So, you know, he obviously does appreciate women. He's got kids. But, you know, is it really any what does it matter what which way he goes? And I'm sorry. I really believe that he's smart enough not because of the position he's in, because of the fame that he has. He's smart enough not to sexually assault anybody.
I'm just, I kind of see it taking the same path as the Tiger Woods situation. Just more and more starts coming out. Oh, he, you know, if one guy's saying it, then of course more guys are going to say, oh yeah, he was sexually assaulted me. But if it was the case, I don't think they say John Doe 1 and 2, wouldn't you come out with your name if you were, unless you're servicing.
Exactly. If you're not going to put your real name out there for people to, you know, the media is going to want to be able to look into your past and say, okay, how credible is this guy? Is it possible that this might have happened? And maybe he's just wrong about the date. Maybe it happened a month earlier when Travolta was in town. We don't know. But it's and if that's the case, the lawyer should have done a better job of making sure that the evidence that they're going to present to a court is legitimate. So I have a feeling it's going to get tossed out relatively quickly. And I mean, if there were going to be skeletons coming out of his closet, they would have come out a long time ago, I think. I don't think this is going to open up any kind of can of worms or anything like that for him. I think he's going to do just fine. He'll have another movie out in the next year or two, and a lot of people will go out to see it. I can't guarantee I will, because it's probably going to be a snooze fest to me like Hairspray was. I mean, it's a wonderful theatrical performance, but I had no interest whatsoever in seeing John Travolta dressed up in drag as a large woman. Just no interest at all.
I think I'm on the same page with you. Can't say I saw that feature.
So, look at this. We have a caller. Okay. How do I pick that up? Hello, you're on the air with Grand Theft Audio Radio.
Oh, right. I'm so excited. Grand Theft Audio Radio, my favorite show.
It is a pretty great show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great.
What's your name?
My name is Jake Belcher. I'm host of... co-hosting Grand Theft Audio.
Yes, you are. And hey, man, how you doing? How's the trip into the studio?
Big bag of fuck.
Yeah, whereabouts are you right now?
About 3 blocks away.
Oh, okay, so we'll see you in just a couple of minutes. No big deal.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, the bus breaking down was just a bitch and a half today.
Yeah, totally threw everything off, so awful.
All right, well, you're only a couple blocks away, so we'll see you in, what, probably 2-3 minutes, and... maybe at this point we'll cut away for a musical break, and we'll see you when you get in.
All right, I I'll be there about 5.
All right, great, man. We'll see you in just a little bit.
Okay, cool. Bye.
All right, bye. So, well, we know where he is now. He's only a couple blocks away. And having said that, I think we will go to our first song break of the day. This is our band of the week, Mae McDonough and Company. And this song is called Mama Drain the Bathtub.
Nice.
So
Tape Party people, this is Jake Belcher. I finally made it into studio.
That's right.
So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to try not to bring my negativity of my day into the studio. I've just been just pissed at the MTA all morning.
Well, so. Now that you're here, you don't have to be pissed off at them anymore. So
that's right. I can calm down and relax.
Yeah. Now that you're here, everything's better.
All right. So what did I miss this morning?
Not too terribly much. We were talking about the Laker game last night.
Boo.
Yes. Boo indeed. They just couldn't come back from the deficit that they had built for themselves in that game.
I'll admit, I didn't know what the deficit was. I just watched the last couple minutes of it. But yeah, I always hate to see them lose. That's it dampens the spirits.
Mm-hmm. And now they got to go back to Denver.
Nobody wants to go to
Nobody
Denver.
Nobody wants to go back to Denver. Everyone wants to go to Denver once, but you never want to go back.
Over under on how many women Kobe rapes in Denver?
One.
Three. Three. All right. Wow. I'm making an Amon's call.
Hey, you know what's funny? Okay, we were talking the other day about the Kenyon Martin thing.
Yeah.
And how that woman went out onto the court.
Where's Kenyon? Where's Kenyon? Where's Kenyon?
Okay, well, you know where he plays now?
No.
The Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, really?
So she might have gotten a little, maybe being drunk. Oh, it's Los Angeles. That's where Kenyon went.
If she's nuts, maybe.
Yeah. She certainly came across as such. I mean, just I watched the replay of her just stumbling out onto that floor. It's just like there was no lost about that. You were drunk off your ass and you just kept walking.
She looks a lot like okay. So I like this porn site called Party Hardcore and the Dancing Bear. I don't know if any of you guys have seen any of these. They're basically like bachelorette parties where these chicks get totally drunk and lose their shit around these strippers. They're amazing.
You watch it in your sweater vest.
I have watched that in my sweater vest, which is a kind of a preferred jack-off clothes. I don't know. It's unpleasant. But anyways, yeah, she looks a lot like those ladies. I mean, she was mesmerized by something and just coming towards it like a moth to a flame.
Yep.
But I don't know if you guys heard the background check. The girl has been stalking NBA players for the last 3 years. How did she manage to get courtside? Is the question. I mean, do not let her on the premises, but yet she's sitting courtside.
Well, that's a security at Staples Center, right?
Was it at Staples Center?
I think
no,
so.
It
was in Denver?
Yeah, it was in Denver.
It's like the head security's last game before he retires.
Really? Wow. So he probably like took a kickback or something to be
got
to get
something out
close.
Of that. That's just crazy.
Head.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure those dudes get offers like that all the time. Scene. Dude, Dancing Bear is amazing. I highly recommend quit listening to the show right now. We're entertaining, but we are not Dancing Bear entertaining. It's you've never seen anything like it in your life. It's a dream job. I would totally love to be a Dancing Bear for one night in a bear costume and all these ladies coming up on you. Hello.
Bear costume. Awesome.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so that couldn't have been all you talked about. What else did you talk about?
We touched on the John Travolta scandal that's apparently going on right now, in which he's accused of sexually assaulting, apparently now two. I thought it was just one male masseuse, but I guess there's a second complaint now.
Yeah, he had one complaint against him on Friday, and another one came out yesterday. The first one seems like it was like the things didn't really add up on it, like where he said he was going to be,
right,
or who said he was, and where the masseuse said that he got him. See, this is how professional I am today. Hey, that's our guest, Michael Amico, hopefully telling me that he'll be here soon. He's had a second charge come up against him, another $2 million lawsuit. I mean, come on, $2 million. Like, that happens to these masseuses all the time.
Right.
Touch my junk. But most of them aren't famous enough for you to be able to sue them over.
Right.
I just don't believe it.
I don't either. I believe
that he wants a dude to jack him off. I mean, that I believe. But I don't really believe that he forced his way on them, and that's did $2 million worth of psychological damage to him.
Right, right. Well, they'll probably wind up writing a five-figure check for both of them just to shut him up with a non-disclosure agreement, and they'll all shut up and go away.
Okay, so
he'll never get a massage by a man again.
According to the new lawsuit, the complaints are that once he was on the massage table, he removed the towel that covered his buttocks because he complained it was too hot, and then he demanded a massage on his glutes. During the massage, Mr. Travolta, who went by the name for it, Mr. White, which is what I think he wanted to come out in the end, kept spreading his legs to expose his erect dick from the back. He flipped himself over and tried to force the plaintiff to touch him. With 15 minutes left before the massage was over, Travolta just began masturbating. So the masseuse left the room and complained to his boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I mean, 15 minutes left, like...
That guy should be paying to watch John Travolta jerk off. I mean, I gotta be honest with you.
Agreed. I mean, he's probably very artful with it. Probably gets up and dances. Or
I mean, let's hope he doesn't put drag and redo a scene from Hairspray while doing it. But I mean, maybe that guy's into that. I don't know.
Well, let's hope he doesn't do that every time. I mean, maybe once. Like, you know, he could just jack off character.
The first time he put the dress on and said, "Wow, this just feels right." Word. And then jerked off. It's like, hey, this feels even better. But, you know, I would imagine it's not something he's going to do on a regular basis.
No, it gets expensive. I mean, he's paying these people.
Where were these masseuses? Does it say where they're located?
Okay, this one was in Los Angeles. He was here filming a movie called Killing Season. I'm sorry. This one was in Atlanta, Georgia, filming a movie called Killing Season with Robert De Niro. And he is confirmed to have been there at that hotel at the time that this happened.
Okay, so this one, there is potential legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
The other one was the one that said it happened here in Los Angeles, and he wasn't in Los Angeles the day he claimed
it occurred. Could you imagine Travolta and De Niro jerking off at the same motherfucking time?
I try not to. Now you've stuck that in my head.
And it'll be there forever. Okay, so upon getting into the Lexus SUV that the plaintiff was picked up in, Travolta was dressed in dark glasses, jeans, an athletic shirt, and a silver watch, and there were multiple Trojan condoms all over the car's inside, and chocolate cake wrappers on the floor. So what the hell is he doing driving around buying chocolate cakes?
He's fucking chocolate cakes. He's putting the condoms on just so that he doesn't get his dick too dirty.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Because otherwise it's going to look like he's been doing something else.
Oh, so, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, we do not want it to look like that.
Nope. So.
Chocolate rain. Nah.
I mean, seriously, like, is this guy really going to have a problem finding someone to jerk him off? He's famous as hell. Like, you could just walk down the street and be like, hey, jerk me off. And someone's going to come up and be like, oh, yes, Mr. Travolta. Yes, Mr. Travolta.
And if you are knowingly going in there for that type of thing, wouldn't you try to make sure that the masseuse that's going to be taking care of you is one that swings in that direction?
Well,
you know, someone who'd be more open to grabbing a hold and taking care of that. If a straight guy's not going to want to do that for any amount of money.
Hey, look, most homophobic or straight guys like aren't going to want to massage other guys anyways. So nope. I mean, if he's willing to put his hands all over another dude, like there's pretty good chance.
See, now you say that, but every football team, every baseball team, every basketball team hires masseuses, and most of them are men.
Almost.
Yeah. Almost?
They're almost. Who moves?
I don't believe that.
I, as a straight man, have a hard time thinking that, hey, my job's going to be I'm going to rub down other dudes' muscles all day.
Well, if you're a physical trainer and that's what you're paid to do.
Well, then let me work for some chick teams. I mean, doesn't the
really,
US
do you really want to go massage the players of the LA Sparks?
Yeah, I mean, at least they got boobs and...
Do they?
Well, I assume they do. I see something bouncing around in their shirt when they hit their jump shots. They're not dunking either. They're
it's the WNBA, buddy.
Yeah, it's a floor show for sure.
How about the LPGA? How about that? You want to go do the massages there?
Yeah, for sure.
There you go.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you wouldn't do that.
I would now. I wouldn't have done it 20 years ago. But with the attractive young ladies that have hit the links for the LPGA in the last 5 years,
we've talked about this.
Yes, we have.
It's taking strokes off your game when you watch, right?
Yes, indeed.
much easier. Okay, so how do they know that this wasn't Nicolas Cage wearing John Travolta's face? I mean, we've all seen that movie, right?
Face Off?
Yeah, so I mean, it's very possible that it's really Nicolas Cage who's running around getting all these hand jobs.
They just never traded faces back. And it's really John Travolta who was in debt and had to do all those crappy movies.
That's right.
Looking like Nick Cage.
That's right. I mean, it kind of gets sad, though. I mean, there's lots of dudes out there who are getting hand jobs from masseuses right now. I mean, it's just happening. I mean, we know that this is going on. It just sucks that when you get rich and famous, and you can't trust any of these people, and you don't know that, I mean, you're so recognizable. I don't even think most of the time that something goes wrong, they just think, oh, you know, I just got paid $400 for that hour, but I can sue him now.
He made me try to touch his pee-pee.
And apparently he was successful.
Are there any names or of these plaintiffs? Or
they're all going under John Doe. Because
that means they might be male escorts. How does that trickle down?
It does have the word John in it. It just seems like if you don't have the guts to even say who you are, then how should we even trust that this is a real lawsuit and that you have any legitimacy to you at all?
I mean, I think you're afraid that you put your name out there that you're not going to get work anymore, basically. Oh, it's hey.
Well, hey, that's the risk you're taking for saying, especially if you're giving wrong information, like the masseuse here in Los Angeles. I mean, I'm fairly certain of the two cases, that's the one that's going to be thrown out the quickest, because they're just going to say, how a judge can't even sit there and go, well, the biggest piece of evidence is the fact that he wasn't in town that day. It's impossible this happened. Thank you very much. Get out of my court. Next case. But it's once the cases are agreed to be heard by a judge that the names will come out.
Think they'll even make it that far?
No. Probably not.
No, they'll probably be, like I said, they'll be probably like a five-figure check that'll be signed over to both of them from John Travolta with a non-disclosure agreement, and boom, they'll just go away.
Oh, dude, this is hilarious. I just read further on, and it said that he, when he got back to his bungalow where he got his massage, when they got inside, there was a private chef in there who was relentlessly making hamburgers. So, like, you got John Travolta laid out on a table in front of you. You got a guy in the same room in the corner who's just grilling up hamburgers. And by the time he made his 10th hamburger, the chef just put his stuff down and exited the room. And I mean, that's just kind of weird that you got hamburgers going on at the same time you got your masseuse, your massage going. I know that people like to have the things that make them comfortable when their massage is going on. It may be for John Travolta to
he's
to
got
to
hamburgers,
jizz.
You've got a sweater vest. You know it all adds up.
It does come together like that.
It's the sound of sizzling meat and the smell of burning beef.
What would De Niro say if he walked in on that whole scene, though? I mean, that would be a hell of a movie.
He would probably just do that eye thing, right, where he points at his two eyes, and he points at his two
looking
eyes, and he points at his mouth, and he points at his cock, and he points at looks at his two eyes. That's probably about how that would go down. Robert De Niro.
There you go.
Going down. Hey, this story.
He's got to get that Tribeca Film Festival started somehow.
That is probably true. I mean, what is it? Maybe John Travolta is just trying to make a new movie called Poke Fiction. If I'd said that better, would have been gone over better. Anyways. Hey, don't worry. I can blow jokes too, you know? Like, it's certainly within my realm of
like
possibility.
Like John Travolta's masseuse?
Yeah, we're not sure if he used the mouth or not, but if he's smart and wanted to get out of there quicker, he would have gone that way.
Yeah.
Unpleasant.
If he was smart.
Unpleasant. Hey, you know, this is a story that I sent in that I've just been weirded out ever since I've read it. Google now has introduced a self-driving car. It is a car that that has cameras in it, and it sees the traffic around it, and it automatically knows what the speed limit is on a street, and it drives by itself. And yesterday, the state of Nevada issued the first license to a self-driving car. So, like, now it can legally be out on the street with nobody controlling it. The only caveat is there has to be somebody sitting in the car, but they don't actually have to do anything. They just glide along with traffic. And
It's the future of taxi cabs.
Probably.
Right there. If you think about it, you just have them lined up, and then once people get in, you tell the computer its destination, and it's going to take you there. Mm-hmm. It's not going to drive too fast. It's not going to drive too slow. It's going to follow. It's going to follow the traffic laws. It's going to get you to your location safely. Now, the thing that scares me about this, though, is imagine if you're in that vehicle and you don't have any control over it, and you're faced with somebody who does have control of their car but loses control. You have no way to react. You just have to take whatever accident might occur.
Yeah, if you tap the brakes or turn the wheel yourself, then you do instantly take control of the car.
Oh, awesome.
But you still have to be paying a lot of attention. And accidents happen like that. They don't happen like, oh, my God, there's an accident happening.
Exactly. If I've got a self-driving car, I will probably be on my phone or my iPad or my laptop.
I got to say, I'm a fan of it. Have you guys had a non-creeper taxi driver?
Oh, no. It's always just somebody that you would never want to spend 3 seconds longer with than you have to. They smell awful. They've just been eating shawarma all night long.
If you're lucky.
If you're right, that would be a luckier thing. Could be kakalash or something that's even worse. But this is a great idea for drunks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can go out and get your drink on and get all fucked up and then get in your car and it just drives you home safely, that is an awesome idea. I totally dig that. And what happens, like, would you even need to have a license in that scenario if the car has a license?
See, that's what I'm wondering. It's like, does the passenger have to be seated in the driver's seat, or can they just sit in the passenger seat and let the car do what it's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you talk about if you touch the brakes or touch the wheel, it will let you take control. But, I mean, if I'm just expecting it to take me to where I need to go, I don't foresee a need to touch either one of those things.
That's right.
So I would be in another seat.
I'm just wondering, is this like a mass corporation? Because the insurance to cover that seems like would be a big dividend.
It seems like just a huge nightmare. I mean, who then gets charged in that? Is it the Google car or is it the actual driver? Can it tell who, if you were under control of it, is there like some type of sensor that says
there has to be something
exactly
that would say
when you took it over again?
I would imagine the computers in there would mark the time that you tapped the brake or took control of the vehicle yourself. I would imagine that as you're right, at this point, the insurance might be really high, but if it really is successful and it does change the way people are going to be transported, I don't see this as being something that people are going to do for road trips, but I see it for cabs. I see it's, I think, a brilliant idea for being able to get people to and from locations, especially in like Las Vegas. I mean, it just would be so much easier just to be able to do that. And as you get more and more of those vehicles and you see how safe they can potentially be, mm-hmm. then you're going to watch that insurance drop. Because
I think that's a safe bet, though. Like Vegas, I could see the strip because, you know, so I have a company and I'm just going to send my cars down the strip. It's a guaranteed shot from end to end.
Exactly. So. I mean, there are certain cities that this will really work well in. I see like New York City, if it was a cab, that would be crazy. And there are so many just cab drivers there that I don't ever see them being completely taken over, but I could see it happening in Vegas. I could see it happening here, like in Los Angeles, especially along like Sunset or in the Hollywood area. It'd be very easy for these vehicles just to be able to transport people without fear. We'll see what happens next St. Patrick's Day when they start using them to drive the drunks home.
It kind of scares me. I don't really like this idea of these cars just driving around on their own.
And it goes, I am robot on you.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's happening.
And this is just another step towards the days of Terminator happening and machines hunting us down.
And like, what if it's like your phone and you're like, I want to go to Seventh Vale. And then you end up at the jet strip and you're like, this is not the location I wanted to go to.
I only needed 3 skanks at my club. And this one has 7, you stupid asshole car.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, see, like did you guys ever see the movie The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Okay,
there was a cool scene. The one thing that I really remember that I thought was kind of cool was Michael Rapaport and him are in a car and they're headed towards the helipad to go do their helicopter deal, whatever it was that they did. And they're in the car and they're just sitting there talking to each other. And the car is on it's on autopilot. It's driving a certain distance. It's driving along roads that have minimal traffic. So it's just like, it's like driving in suburbia. And then when you get close to an area where it's traffic, the computer alerts you, you know, human control is now required. Are you ready to take over? And all of a sudden the steering wheel pops up and the brakes and the accelerator become accessible. And Michael Rapaport takes over, starts driving the car. That sounds cool for that kind of situation. I think in traffic, nothing is better than the human reaction.
Agreed. Okay, so you know who could really use this car? The cast of Lost. It seems crazy how many of these people who have been on that show have been busted for drunk driving. This week you had Matthew Fox, who's like was the lead on that, and he got busted for drunk driving. You've had Daniel Day Kim, who was one of the secondary people on it in October of 2007. He got busted for drunk driving. You have Cynthia Watros, who was another person on there. Michelle Rodriguez, another person on there. Just person after person from that cast keeps getting arrested for drunk driving.
What did they get? When you had to be on the show, you had to be drunk to do it? So
maybe they're lost.
Very possible.
I guess.
It just seems like a weird coincidence that so many people from the same show have had the same problem.
Yeah, I mean, because at least with 2.5 Men, it was only Charlie Sheen. We never heard about John Cryer or anybody else.
Who? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we talking about John Cryer or what?
No, I said with like 2.5 Men, it was just Charlie Sheen was the one who was getting pulled over. You never heard about John Cryer ever getting pulled over for DUI.
That's true.
You know, it's shows like that where you have, usually there's the one bad boy and he's going to be the one that always gets that press. But seems like in Lost, they all just can't seem to help but hit that bottle and then hit the road.
I don't know why things run in packs like that.
Well, Sopranos, what, the average weight gain was 15 pounds for every cast member that was on that show?
Really? I did not know that.
And that does seem to make sense, though, because they did seem to get a little bit bigger by the end of the seasons.
Somehow I had missed that, but I'm sure that it's true. Okay, so it's not all about news about drinking and driving. One thing that happened yesterday that really pissed me off is you guys see what happened in North Carolina yesterday, where they decided to make a change to their state constitution, making gay marriage and civil unions illegal?
I did not see that.
It came out yesterday, 61-39%.
And this was, which Carolina was this?
North.
North Carolina.
North okay. Carolina, which is the more progressive of the Carolinas.
Apparently.
I mean, I don't know if it's apparently in this case because they still voted against it.
Right.
But South Carolina is usually considered the...
Aren't they the Gamecocks or something?
Yeah, they are.
Very, very fitting. Yeah. That would fit.
Maybe John Travolta can go to them and get a...
South Carolina is focused on the right things. They're trying to outlaw truck nuts.
Are they really?
Yep. For the second time in a month, police in South Carolina have issued tickets to people with their big old pickup trucks that have those testicles that hang off the back of the trailer hitch.
Awful.
Yeah. They're
that is one of the worst
saying accessories. Are saying that's a distraction, or what's the reasoning behind
hitting? They're considered offensive. They're considered, there's no reason for you to be showing a form of genitalia on the car, especially one that mimics.
What if you had a big pubic V back there?
They'd probably take it that too. They would molest it first, but then they would take it.
I mean, it does tell everybody that I'm a fucking asshole, and you don't want to have any real interaction with me. It is one of the worst things that you can see that somebody has decided to add to their cars.
Yeah,
I hate shitty accessories like that. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, there was that big trend going around where people put lights under their car, mm-hmm. and it would be all purple as they're driving around and look like they're from the future.
Freaking spinners, wheels.
Hate them.
Hated those. Ridiculous. And then you saw the guys who had the hubcaps.
I guess Latrell Sprewell, is that correct? I think Latrell Sprewell.
He is one of the owners of the originals.
Is the dude who got those started.
Well, I found it funny when I would see like minivans with a Mexican father and mother and their kids in the back, and they would have the hubcap version that would just go over, and then as they're driving, these things would all be spinning in different directions. And it's just like, at what friend of yours brought that to you and thought this looked cool, or at what point did you walk into the auto zone and go, that's what my minivan needs. Spinners. I need to have some spinners.
Well, if you're running like 16 curb checkers, you gotta have spinners with that, man.
Lord, that's...
And you got your big chrome cowl on the side? You gotta have some spinners on that.
Incredible.
What I love is one of my favorite shows on Adult Swim is Squidbillies. And they did an episode in regards to truck nuts, where Early got himself like... the best of the best. At least he thought they were the best of the best truck nuts for his truck. And then Granny comes out in her little walker, and she's got even nicer truck nuts sitting on the front of hers. Like, what? You get ones, I get some too. And it was just such a funny take on the whole hillbilliness of it.
Okay, so we've all seen truck nuts. Have you guys seen the new accessory, the eyelashes that you put around your headlights? So it looks like they're about to, like your car's about to blink at you or something. I think they're basically made for the mini and like chick cars.
Yeah.
But I'd like to have a car with the eyelashes and the nuts in back. It's kind of like some tranny mobile or something. that is about what that's at. Hey, before you say something, I'm going to introduce our first guest of the show. Coming on and joining us right now is Mr. Awesomeness, Michael Amico.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning. Hooray. Doing well.
Thanks for
doing
joining us, man.
I was going to say with that, it feels like they're trying to actually make those Chevron LeTecron cars reality.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Now, you put some truck nuts on them. We just did a story
truck
about...
Truck nuts, though. Like, what are truck nuts?
Okay, so on like...
You know where your trailer hitch goes, you then have some dangling balls
yes.
from that.
That's car drive. I always love when the truck nuts, when they're like on the road, but they're like also, they're like skimming, and you could see like it like almost like flaming up, just like on the bottom.
The sparks on the bottom.
Yeah, and you're like, oh great, there's probably oil on the road. I'm just saying, your car might explode because of
If you got truck nuts on it and you start a fire that blows up the truck, you deserve that shit.
That's what I'm saying. I have a Toyota Matrix, so that probably won't happen. I'm not really towing anything.
That's a car that actually had its run balls the eyelash.
You
could
definitely run the eyelashes on your Matrix.
It would make it even more gay to have.
Not
to,
if you put the balls on the back.
Now, if you had one of these self-driving cars with truck nuts, now this is where you run into the problem. truck rape or something.
Who do you give the ticket to on that?
Taste. You give the ticket to taste. You're like, your taste sucks, sir. But yeah, yesterday there was in the state of Nevada, they gave the first license to a self-driving car where nobody needs to be.
That is awesome.
Where do you see the practical applications making your life better?
Well, it just makes it easier. You could take a nap if you like.
Very nice.
like driving here, driving in LA. Now, you know what's weird? I thought this was and I'm actually glad that I didn't stay at my friend's house because I'm talking sideways into it. I don't know if that
you can adjust it so
you can turn it. Yeah.
Look at that. Oh my god,
this is so much easier.
Radio. So no, but what was weird is that because I was doing what's his face open mic last night, Dave's on Broadway. Beautiful place. No, it's not. But anyways, like what's weird is that I called my friend up and I'm like, can I stay with you? Because I don't want to, because I was thinking Olive in Burbank. And then I saw the 90014.
And then you found out, not Burbank.
No.
Not Burbank.
Downtown. I'm glad I found a 1 hour spot, which actually around 10:15, I need to go feed the meter.
Okie dokie.
Just giving you a heads up.
Cool, cool.
FYI. So can we set like a time?
I can remind.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's specific standard time. So not to be confused with Eastern Standard Time.
Otherwise, you'd already be late and you'd have a ticket.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though, if they had those, though? If they had like parking meter mates are like, okay, this one's Eastern Standard Time. This one's Mountain Time. I don't know.
Dude, I've never understood that whole idea of putting up the three clocks next to each other where they're telling me what time it is in New York. And
I think they would just want to make it cool.
So, well, I think also some people are just too dumb to figure out that the East Coast is 3 hours ahead of time. Central is 2 hours ahead of us.
My ADD is too fucked up.
What was that?
My ADD is like out there. 3 clocks, I'm going to be like...
Yeah, just give me one.
Yeah, just give me one. What time is it?
My wife has this idea that in the living room, she would like to put up the 3 clocks in there so we can tell what time it is in different times.
So you could have like London, Tokyo, and Los Angeles?
That's just insane to me.
Yeah. Why do you need to know what time it is in London and Tokyo? Unless you're going there. No reason
to
care.
That is a fucking waste of a battery in that clock because I do not care what time it is in Japan. Or
I did think of a practical use for this self-driving car. It means that Carl Kozlowski would actually be able to own a car again.
Let's pray this never happens then.
He might make it on time.
Hey, you know what? That might actually make him on time.
Yeah.
Actually, he'd still get down to the car and hope that it would get him there faster.
Hey, this is the one day I can't cap on someone being late. I mean, literally, since we've been doing the show since 2008, and I have not
this is
been
the
late
first,
for a show
that's
yet.
Right. There was one scare 6 months ago where you thought you were going to be like 6 minutes late, and you kind of ran up with like a minute to go, going, all right, I made it.
Just made it.
Just made it.
I had never been late, so I apologize.
I was working on the X Factor. And it was kind of crazy because it was like literally 10 minutes before they go live or whatever. Mm-hmm. Cause it's over, they film it over at that CBS TV City or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Simon Cowell comes in, drives in his Mini Cooper, goes to his trailer, probably gets makeup for like 2 seconds and then goes on the air for like 10 minutes. How great would that be though? To just like drive up. Knowing you're going to go live to like millions of people, like this show,
mm-hmm.
And then just be like there 10 minutes before you're going to go on. That is awesome. That is a dream.
And it's something that nobody else in Hollywood gets. I mean, if you're not there hours early, just sitting there and waiting. Some reason I'm
what. I think it comes in from the sound booth, unfortunately.
Oh, no. I think that...
you have a text message.
That you were logged in here.
Oh, somebody texted me. Okay.
Ted's messaging you.
Oh, my goodness.
My crazy brother, Ted. So, hooray for him.
He's not crazy.
Get out of here, Michael. You've met him. What are you
talking about?
How could you even make that case?
Dude, I remember the last time I was on the show, when it was 1974.
Uh-huh.
Georgia called in. I remember that.
Yeah, that's right. She did.
It was awesome. She's a lovely woman.
I think she was only listening because you were on. Like, she does not listen because I'm on.
She's like, oh, every single morning. Yes, exactly. No, but yeah, it was very nice of her to call because that was when she... Wait, she was like up for Miss California, or like what was the deal?
Yeah, she was like a Miss California or something like that, Miss Teen California.
Because that's how like Todd ended up. He's like, oh yeah, my friend of mine or whatever, and I'm like, okay, because he's the one. Because I was doing background work with her, and sometimes I would call in sick, and I'd be like, hey, you know, I don't want to go into work, and she's like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, she was good about that type of stuff. She lets laziness go by. Hey, so what were you doing with the X Factor?
Oh, the X Factor. I was working in the accounting department as an assistant.
Ooh,
just filing away paperwork. I mean, it was one of those like filler. That was my last semi full time job, but not really. They found a loophole, and like I ended up knowing that I wasn't going to be there like, you know, full time or whatever. But it was at Fremantle Media, and my friend of mine, Matteo Nagasi, I knew him through the last company that I was working with, Levity, and he was in the accounting department for that. And I was like, oh, hey, you know, are they looking for anybody? And yeah, so, but what was weird is that I was working in Burbank, and they filmed it literally right where I live, like off Fairfax and Wilshire, at that TV City or whatever, where they filmed The Price is Right, the same company that they do The Price is Right and all that stuff. But yeah, I got the job through him, but the actual offices were in Burbank. So I'm like, oh, great. Got to drive a half an hour. And then, you know, but it was fun going on runs there because what I would do is I would go there and then I would go home.
That is nice. Anytime you can get a little extra home time in during your day.
And I have a CBS TV City pass for myself. So,
oh, shit.
I mean, it says X Factor, so I can only probably go from like October to like January.
Well, it's coming back. I guess the big speculation is that, okay, so we know that they fired two of the hosts last year.
Yes.
Two of the judges. They got rid of
Paul Abdul
and Nicole Scherzer.
Is this the first time that they're ever really talking about the X Factor at the Skid Row Studios?
Yeah, probably.
I'm just saying.
Probably.
Like, I don't know if that's the demographic for.
Well, I think that it's going to become the demographic with the two people that they're talking about bringing in as the new host.
Britney Spears,
and I guess it's now down to two people for the last spot.
Miley Cyrus
and Debbie Lovato, some other.
Oh, Demi Lovato, the one who had that problem going on where she had that like mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Hey, we've all been there, though, right?
Hey, you want to give her another chance?
Sometimes two times.
Britney Spears and another mental fuck up.
I mean, you tune into these things to see train wrecks. I mean, you want to see someone break down.
That's why I watch Jersey Shore. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I'm part of this Italian club, and it is so funny. The first guest speaker when I went to this Italian club, Sons of Italy, Scott Baio.
Really?
Yeah, and they're like, that's awesome, I love being Italian. He's almost 50.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? To like think that, you know, that Scott Baio, he had like two TV shows. But yeah, so it's one of those things where like the Italians, they don't like the Jersey Shore. But I actually kind of blame the Soprano. And it's funny with like Sons of Italy because like all the guest speakers are either like they knew Frank Sinatra or they have a connection to the Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I get it. You know, Frank Sinatra or, you know. In fact, Tom Dreesen was on one time. He was a guest speaker one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very hilarious guy. But anyways, so So I name drop. I was like, do you guys know Tom Dreesen? Well, he spoke at a, yeah. But the thing is that Italians don't like the Jersey Shore because it's not like, I guess, a representative or whatever of like being Italian. But I kind of blame the Sopranos for leaving because then it kind of emphasized that and like they're not full Italian. Also, but also too, it's like people who are 30 getting drunk, that's called normal.
That's just what happens.
Well, no. But like they just happen to be Italian.
Right. You know what I mean? You don't have to be Italian for that to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Because about 30, we're all doing it, regardless of our heritage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for like them to, and it's just like that whole thing with like how like Howard Stern's going to be like a host on America's Got Talent.
Which I'm super excited by.
No, it's awesome. And like they knew what they were getting into, but it was just kind of crazy because it's like there's all these groups that are like anti, you know, they're like, oh, pull your corporate sponsorship or whatever. And it's like, really? I mean, I understand that it's on before 10 o'clock and all that.
And you haven't even given the guy a chance to be on the air for the show. I mean, if he does something that's going to piss you off, fine, then start boycotting, but give the guy a shot.
Well, I think they know he's going to do something, but that's what they know. They know that it's going to happen. You know, I think that they know it's going to happen, and that's why they ended up signing him, because they know that there's going to be this controversy and it's going to bring in viewers and... I hate to, you know, quote the movie too, but, you know, he's like either, you know, half the people listen because they want to hear what he's going to say next, and the other half are actually fans, you know. Yeah.
one half loves him, one half hates him, and they all continue to listen. It doesn't matter if they're fans or not.
Yeah, I'll tell you this: if I was a lesbian with like some marginally entertaining act, I would be.
You're
very
close
exciting.
To it, though.
It's very close.
With
I
the
do,
beard.
I do love the ladies, but you know he loves lesbians so much and kind of lets them run roughshod on the show that I would think, oh my god, I got a good chance of winning this year.
How can you not love lesbians though?
Word.
But you know what, lesbian porn, it's the same shit over and over. It's like the dominant one eats the other one out. They scissor sister, and then the other one eats the other one out, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll see you later. Same shit over and over. It kind of gets when there's two feminine ones, that's when it's hot. Because they're just gentle.
The lipsticks,
and
yeah.
Oh,
lipsticks.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Yeah.
And, I don't know. I kind of like seeing the
two butch?
Not two butches.
Okay.
No,
okay. I was like, man, if you're really going to go that way.
You know, give me one and I'll be like. Because
that's the one that's going to put the strap on.
And I never understand that, too. Like, somebody will become a lesbian, but then they'll have a strap on.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, they'll have, like, the sex operation to become a female, but then yet they'll use a strap on.
It is kind of weird.
You know?
The real glaring hole in lesbian porn to me is like, why do they make the other one suck the dildo like beforehand? Like, there's no pleasure in either side.
Well, it's probably.
That.
I can understand the after part.
Yeah, because then you can get the juices.
Hole. Right.
The glaring hole.
Yeah.
And maybe if the girl can't really get wet, that's how you're lubing it up before it goes in. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
And also, I never understand the whole glory hole thing. Which
get
actually,
the fuck out of here. What don't you understand about that?
No,
it's a hole you put your dick in
I mean, I understand it, but it's just like, oh, hey, there's a penis of this guy. I don't know if there's any STDs on it. Okay, looks clean. Let me suck it.
I see.
You know what I mean? So I take girls out on dates and like I don't get action. And then glory hole. Actually, you know what? There's this awesome glory hole one where it's a priest. He's like, oh, how are you? And then he's like, oh, just. And then, they're fucking horny. And then they take out this little thing and it just happens to be a glory hole and they're like, you know, and then she like sucks the dick and it, which is interesting because first of all priests shouldn't be doing that. They should be listening, giving them solutions. But it's great,
fiddling around with little boys.
Word, I mean, someone think of the children.
You going hacky? Really?
Yeah. that's the direction I'm
going. Now think when you went in to get your Red Bull from Arco this morning. Now if there was a glory hole. And someone was there to service you. It wouldn't have made that Red Bull buying experience just a little bit different.
Well, if I was the one where I'm like, oh, there's a glory hole.
Well, okay. Yeah, here's the thing. You were also like, oh, here's a dick. And what if there are STDs on it? Why were you actually thinking about sucking that guy's dick? Or because if you're the one sticking your dick in the hole, I'm really not worried about any STDs coming out of that chick or dude's mouth.
Or you know, what'd be funny is to have a bit where you have it where it's like they think it's a chick, but you're like, you know, I'm a dude, right? He's like, oh, sorry, and then he like pulls out.
I'm sure that happens, man. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I have a mustache, right? I'm just saying.
How come that tickles when you do that? It's my mustache, sir. Oh shit!
I mean, I've been to many bathrooms. I mean, believe it or not, I poop like two or three times a day. And I've never actually seen a glory hole anywhere. I mean, just not in action. I mean, I've never actually seen one in any bathroom. Have you guys ever actually seen one anywhere you've gone?
No.
No.
But in Fort Worth, Texas, one time in 1997.
Yes. I brought this drill and I started going through the wall just to see.
I love those jokes where like you just have the setup where the punchline's already there. You know, so I was fucking this dude the other day.
I lost to this guy in a dick sucking contest.
Right?
Yeah.
Shit like that. Yeah.
I only thought about becoming gay, and then they're like, it's your turn. I'm like,
yeah, so I sucked a dick, and I'm like, no, I'm not gay. I don't like it.
But hey, you know, you got to try something.
You know what? You know, you got to put it down your throat. You know, just let it go down there, let it percolate. You know, let him finish gargle. Yeah,
is that Chewbacca going deep throat? What the hell was that?
The answer: pineapple juice. Allegedly, I don't know. Does it make it sweeter? I don't know.
I never.
I don't know. I've never tasted my own. So,
pineapple juice.
I think we might need a woman in the growth theater right now. Can we get a woman's view on pineapple semen?
Because from what I hear, semen tastes salty. Is that true?
I think there's semen tastes salty. Semen. The kid looks. Let's get off of this. Okay, so news came out yesterday. It was the day where they approved new Olympic sports, And there's one sport that has been knocked out of the Olympics and one sport that's been added to the Olympics for 2016. The one that has been knocked out is windsurfing, which I can't even believe.
I didn't even know it was an Olympic sport.
It debuts this summer at the London Olympics.
Okay, so in 2012 it'll be here, but by 2016 it'll
already
be gone.
Like, it's already lost its support. Because apparently there's a lot more people who think that kiteboarding is the real sport that...
So well, that's edgy. Place.
Yeah.
You know, because you have a, you need a kite for that.
I mean, what do you do if there's no wind? I mean, at least like in the windsurfing, you can get, you have a chance of being able to kind of like generate your own by being able to move around and get something going. But if there's no wind to pull the kite up, then the whole thing is just screwed. And this whole thing is going on and there's still no baseball in the Olympics.
Right. Do you have a list of the sports in the Olympics there?
I'm sure I can find it. I don't have it at the moment.
Now, they're bringing back softball, though. Like, women's softball returns in 2012. Yeah, because they got rid of both baseball and softball, but there were so many female athletes who were like, wait a second, this is one of the few sports that we can excel in, and you're getting rid of it? We want it back. So they brought back women's softball, but men's professional or men's baseball, it's not a...
How many people are on a baseball team? Is that an ignorant question?
At least 9.
A roster for a baseball team 40. Usually has a 45.
Yeah. 40, so what would you do if you had 45 raging dykes coming at you saying we need softball back? I'm going to say all signs go with.
I'd say half.
As long as the cute ones were leading the pack, you got it, ladies. Don't send the butches. Don't send the catcher. I don't want to see her running at me.
I would say soccer. It's 50-50. They're either butch or they're like hot girl, you know, because it's like basically the girl that I, you know, in high school that I had a crush on, she played soccer. So I have a thing for soccer girls. But I think that softball, I think it's 75-25. I think 25% are actually hot and 75% are butch. Because I've seen...
A lot of the pitchers are kind of hot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Or like the first baseman or something like that. They're like, or like the person who can't throw that far, so they put him at second base, or they have him at first base so they can either like dig up the ball or whatever.
Okay, what would you say is the gayest position in softball? Like, you just know that they play this position?
Catcher.
Yeah,
catcher.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
They're just the big, like, beefy chicks. And for some reason...
They're like power hitters, too.
Well, What about center field? Because they're probably like...
You can't see them?
Well, they're like...
I think those are bisexuals because they can go both ways.
That would be a shortstop, Jake.
Oh, wait. Right. It's like the shortstop.
Because
the
shortstop has to be good. And the center fielder, it's so funny with the center fielder, because the center fielder is the best out of the shitty players. Because, you know, whenever you played baseball, they're like, okay, go shag balls and the outfielder. Like, be like left, center, right field. You know what I mean? You're like, what the fuck? You know, you're in like Little League and there's like 4 outfielders and you're the one that's like in the middle. You're like left, center. You're not center. You're not left field. Uh-huh. You're, you know, right field. But I think what it is because you have to be good to be center field.
You got to be quick. You got to.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe would the leaders be more butch though? Do you think or no?
Probably.
You know what I mean? Because the catcher obviously. Come on, the catcher
number one. Like,
But if you date back to the '90s, the goalkeepers were usually the heavy set, unattractive girls on a soccer team. Now there's good looking goalkeepers.
Dude, what's that chick's name? Dude,
Hope Solo.
Jesus, Krebus. Like, she is She's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt that lady does it for me.
Indeed.
I like that. But it still just pisses me off that baseball's out. I mean, that is a huge sport. I mean,
we are dominant.
And it's not us. There are multiple other countries that love that sport. Japan, Cuba, most of South America and Mexico. I mean, they all have like professional level teams and they don't even get to represent their country. I can understand, hey, if you're from Indonesia and you don't have a team, then you're not going to compete in it. Who cares?
Well, and baseball's easy too to practice too. All you need is a bat and a ball and probably
and gloves.
Yeah, I mean, because like basketball's probably the easiest, or soccer, it's the cheapest,
probably
most
soccer
efficient.
Probably soccer.
It's like hockey though. I mean, that's, you know, hockey's kind of... Do they still have ballroom dancing? Or did they take it out?
It is a it's not an official sport at it. It's an exhibition. And that,
like,
is,
sumo wrestling was a couple of years ago, and others that
what does that mean?
Over.
It showcases. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's no real awards. There's no medals. It's just this is a sport too.
They have trophies with nothing on them.
Yeah, that's right.
Basically, they're like, thanks for participating.
Right. It's also like to see how well it does. I mean, like, if there is a level of competition that people are interested in, it can become a sport that the Olympics will recognize. The problem with it that I see, and it's only happened in the last like 16 years, is from now on, when you want to add a sport to the Olympics or a game to the Olympics, it has to be a game that can be played by both men and women. So when they brought sumo in, there was men's sumo and there was also women's sumo wrestling.
Dude, that shit was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
The main reason.
You watch
is that on YouTube? I want to see that.
Yeah, you can find clips of it on there.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys really like the Olympics? Do you get going with that whole rah-rah America?
I thought it was the best. In 84 when it was here, yeah, it was definitely.
And in the 90s, it was cool when they had basketball, like the Dream Team. That was kind of cool to watch.
There are certain sports that I think we're all going to sit there and really want to watch. Basketball being one of them. Of course, because we kind of dominate in that currently. Yeah, anything that America is going to be doing really well, we're going to support. But I mean, like, let's say field hockey. This doesn't sound like something I'm going to be tuning in to watch. The cycling is some of the most boring shit on the planet.
Or the marathon.
Even that.
Yeah, that's boring as hell, too. Can't stand
but the great thing about the marathon is it can be run, and then they can show you other clips of other things that are going on, and they'll cut back to the marathon. This is who's in the lead now, and now back to the shot
like
put.
Like golf or something.
Here's what I like. I like the pole vault, because I always like fantasize that the pole's going to go through someone's chest on like an awful run. Like someone who has like no muscle in their chest or something just going to run up there, and it's just going to pierce right through their heart. And they're going
to someone accidentally uses a javelin to do so.
That'd be badass. I like the high jump. Like, that's another good one.
Side note, you remember the old Star Tours?
Yes.
You remember at the end when the guy when they're at the end and you're going down, the guy's calling up the person, letting him know that Star Tours is there?
Yeah.
She kind of looks like that girl in there.
Oh, that you know? Looks like her?
Like him? You know, like that person where they call it, like, because the guy has the mustache and he's like calling in and you're like, Star Tours, where are you? You know, so.
I'm not sure that our tech has a mustache.
She doesn't. I'm not saying she has a mustache. The point is that it looks like. This could be the new Star Tours. We could go, which actually went to Disneyland the other day.
I was there the same day. Can't believe I missed you.
Right. I ended up getting to go to Club 33.
That is, you did?
Yeah. Okay. Because my mom's work.
Go throw some change in your meter. That was my alarm to let me know you need to go throw change.
I will. I'll be back,
car.
And we'll talk about that
because we'll get back to that.
Sounds good. Cool. Thank you for setting the alarm. I was just kidding, by the way. See how jokes start out.
Well, I was making sure that you don't get
keep
a ticket.
Your arms and legs in the doom buggy.
Try to be polite and stuff.
So I'll be back. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, go take care of your parking, dude. I mean, really, the Olympics, we're at 80 days away right now. And we're going to just start getting inundated with all those shows with Fred Rogan pretending that he cares about families from all these different towns all across the country.
The Times every day, there's another story in regards to the 79 days to the Olympics, 78 days to the Olympics. Here's this day's story.
We have 800 athletes that are traveling for the Olympics this year, which doesn't seem like that many to me.
But it's the largest contingency, isn't it?
Easily the largest. This year, though, Visa and Procter & Gamble have come together, and they are giving all mothers of all participants $1,000 to be able to, like, offset some of the expenses on it.
Maybe be able to afford a plane ticket and a hotel room for the night that your son or daughter is going to be competing.
Because that is crazy expensive to just go across for London to watch your kid do something for 12 seconds or something.
And then I was hearing that Michael Phelps also with Visa is launching like a video campaign, or like sending his video and you could be featured in Visa commercials.
Yeah, I
guess
something
he's
about that
do
too.
The judging of that.
And I guess he also announced that he will retire after these Olympics because he probably just wants to smoke weed and not fucking be hassled by it.
Right.
I mean, that was the worst. I mean, it's such a bad example that somebody who smokes weed, can go out and break world records?
And they can be successful at something? Oh my gosh, because we've been telling everybody for so long that smoking weed will make you unsuccessful. I mean, and he's broken that idea.
Okay, the dude has huge ears that help him paddle. I mean, we all agree to that. He shaves a little bit of his time just by taking his head back and forth because they're just massive. But there should be no knock on him for deciding that out of training, out of competition, that he decides that he's going to take a bong rip. It just seems like the backlash that came against him was overblown and ridiculous.
Well, I mean, if your sponsors, the people who are paying you as a sponsor to do that, they want to pull that's understandable because they don't want you to be betraying their company as someone who appreciates that. But you're right. There's no other reason for him to receive any kind of backlash. It's a personal choice. What if he was here in Los Angeles and did have his medical marijuana card? Would it have been an issue at all? It's like, well, he uses it for medicinal purposes. He has the right to do so in this state.
I mean, do you think that we can make a case that maybe marijuana makes your giant underbite go away. So he's got a fucked up face, man. Like, if they can make a case for that, that like marijuana helped on that, then there is a real legitimate reason to have him smoke weed. It's awful. Okay, so this whole idea about giving these 800 mothers this $1,000 is a little offensive to me. It's like, what do the dads have to do? The dads have to make sure that they pay their own. They have to massage John Travolta. I mean, they have to find some way of taking in that extra cash to be able to afford to be there. I mean, why does mom get all the love? I mean, I know this is the week, right? This is the weekend where you're supposed to, you know, celebrate all that stuff. But for Mother's Day. But why does she get all the love? Like, why not the dad?
Because dad's the one who's working. Yeah. He can afford it. I don't know. Because you know what? Mom is, because when they win, who's the first person they thank?
Who taught the kid how to swim? His mom or his dad? I don't know. I'm thinking dad. That's 500. I'm good with
okay,
that.
Okay, great. So who taught the kid to box? I mean, did mom take the kid into the boxing ring? I mean, because that was probably something that dad had something to do with.
Possibly, but who was the one who drove him to the boxing training every single day to go to it? Probably mom.
It's possible.
More than likely, it's going to be mom who's going to take him to the practices every day.
It just seems like they should do it for both of them. I mean, it's not going to cost them that much more. You're talking 800 people at $1,000 each for a huge corporation like this, for them to be able to not have me sit here and snarkily say, yeah, well, what about the dads? Like, it would have been much cheaper for them to have just said, okay, we're going to do it for dads also, as opposed to just saying that, no, it's for mothers only. Really, really dumb. To me, it's dumb. Okay, so I know you took a musical break earlier. I don't know which track it is that you played from.
The bathtub one.
Bathtub.
The bathtub one, eh? Then I think that we should go with one of them that's not a bathtub track. I'll pull them up here in a second. This is Mae McDonough and Company. She has, she and them have performed on a few of our shows. They did our 100th episode show last year at the Upright Citizens Brigade. And this is one of my favorite tracks from them. It is called Church on Sunday. So check it out, and we'll be back after this.
Nothing like a good old
You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
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 You're listening to Skid Row
Studios. Listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay.
You are listening to Grand Theft Audio with the kings of internet radio, Jake Belcher, Brant Thoman.
Right on top, 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 right on top.
There's nothing coming through on yours. There's nothing coming through on your mic, my friend.
What? Oh. That's because I hit the goddamn wrong button.
So you're right back
on time with Grand Theft Audio Radio. This is Jake Belcher.
And I'm Brant Thoman.
Along with our guest host today.
Eamon Van Dyke.
And live in studio, Mr. Awesomeness.
Oh,
Michael Amico.
You were too kind.
Okay, so before you left to put change in your meter, we're talking about Disneyland.
11:10. 11:10 is when I need to feed the meter.
We'll be done before then. Don't
That's
worry about that,
figured.
My man.
We'll get you out of then. Oh yeah, so first of all, like Disneyland, they're offering. I feel like this is a plug. Go to Disneyland.com but like, what's weird is, first of all, I went for 16 hours that day.
Good lord!
I
you had to have
them.
Little kids or something there, right?
Well, you know what? No, I didn't. I went with my mom.
Wow!
I was like, we have to get there at 9. We were there a little bit late, 9:10, but basically, like, I got the Mickey Mouse pancakes.
Delicious.
Which actually looks like Stitch pancakes, which is kind of weird. It's like they should change it, to, you know, or change up the pancake itself. But anyways, so I went there. I did some things, my mom, you know, and because my mom, with her work, we were able to get into Club 33 through them.
Dang, that's nice. Never been. Super jealous. Always wanted to go. Well, what was it actually like in there?
I'm not one to, like I'm it's pretty cool. I mean it's very nice. They have the dessert bar. Oh my god! And it's like little size proportions too. So they have I got the steak, got the filet mignon, you get Sunday you get free champagne. Mickey Mouse and Pluto came in.
Adorable.
I took a picture with them and I was like, uh-huh, oh boy, oh my gosh, that's Mickey, huh? And he's like, that's pretty good. And I was like, I know Mickey. No, but they mime that. They're like, oh, you know, they like mime it. They're like, oh, you're like, but anyways,
I was at Disneyland on Sunday also.
Yeah, it was, you know,
this whole real quick. This dude comes up to me who's working in the parking lot, and I'm like, a lot of people here today. He's like, ha ha, yeah, there sure are. And we drive away. I'm like, that is the worst Mickey Mouse I've ever heard. Like, this guy is their first grader, and he's an awful Mickey.
I've been working on that since elementary school, that voice.
Just, you got it on lockdown, you.
That and the Herbert the Pervert.
Oh, from Family Guy?
That's what I was doing when I was leaving. I was like, some days seem like a nice boy. But
creepy.
Gets the chicks. So anyway, yes. You know what? Because I told, like, my mom wanted to go. Because, like, my birthday, I'm going to New York for my birthday next week. Going to do some, in fact, I have to, like, go to from JFK to downtown to do a show, which is cool. Just basically going for stand-up comedy. My friend, you know, I have a friend that lives there and stuff like that. But so my mom was like, hey, like, I want to go to Disneyland with you because, you know, because technically it was my birthday, but it wasn't like I could have gotten the pin where everybody says it's your birthday. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm 12 days out. I can't. It's the 6th. Mine's the 8th. You know, I thought it wouldn't be right. But then I would, you know, but then every single time I saw some button, I was like, oh, I could have had that. And she's like, you know, she got all pissed off. She's like, oh, I could have gotten that for your birthday and blah, blah, blah. But no, it was a perfect time to go because, like, the fireworks, it was hardly anybody was there. We ended up going to Fantasmic. It was awesome.
Did you spend your time in Disneyland or did you go across the California Adventure?
My mom, we did a little bit of both because my mom, she wanted to do three things, which two of them were the same thing. And I'm like, mom, we could, like, cut one of them out. But she wanted to do the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Yeah.
She wanted to do Soaring Through California, which is great.
Love it.
Oh my gosh. It's like one of the best rides in there.
And then, on a hot summer day, it's the best place to go in. You get a good 15 minutes of just like cold air hitting you at points because you're flying over the mountains. You're like, oh, it's
and then that smell.
I don't want to leave.
It's
smell.
Yeah, it's one of the, I think it's the best ride at Disney California Adventure. But and then
put
also
a couple of things up there in his ballpark.
But still, you know what's weird about it too is that like, it's an awesome ride, but it's like you wouldn't think that it would be that cool of a ride. Like if you try and sell it to somebody, you got to be like, oh, it's the sight, it's the smells, it's the sounds. But we basically got the fast pass for that later on. So we did the fast pass there, and then what we did was and then the other ride my mom wanted to go on was the Toy Story one, which. That was the only line that we had, and that's actually pretty sweet.
That's a badass ride, man.
But 50 minutes, dude. Yeah. 50 minutes to be in that line. And it's not that long of a... It's like a new high-tech ride from Fantasyland.
Yeah, exactly. And
it is high-tech.
Do they still have the single rider line? Or
they sure do.
Okay, see, that's the way to go.
Oh, they have the single rider line?
On busy days, you can be a single rider. So when they have like a family of three and there's an extra seat, boom, they'll drop you in there so you don't have to sit through the 50 minutes. But you can't go with a group of people and go, oh, we're all single riders.
I go with my wife all the time and we ride single riders.
Do you guys have passes?
Yeah.
Do you have the 400 one or what?
Well, yeah. I mean, the one that lets you go all year long with no blockouts.
Yeah. Well, living in LA, you have to.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many times.
You know what I mean?
Because
you could
go
Saturdays. But now is a perfect time to go because my mom was like, when do you want to go? And I said, well, I can't go on the weekend of the 18th. Next weekend is Mother's Day. We can't go then. You want to go? I said, we should go on a Sunday. It won't be as crowded. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was very nice down there.
And the fireworks, I don't like this year. I liked them last year more. And you can only do so much with the fireworks because it's just kind of like you either do, like this one was basically like things, like they had Dumbo flying around, which is actually kind of funny because you go from Tinkerbell to Dumbo flying around. And first of all, the you notice how the Manahorn, they're redoing the Manahorn?
I'm totally excited. It looks like it's going to be way better.
And now it's not going to like seem as gay if I'm like riding on it with my dad.
Yeah, there's nothing weird.
Because they're basically three seats as opposed to like two.
Than sitting between your dad's thighs.
I'm like, I'd be like, it's nice to go with my sister, but I didn't want to give her boner city. You know what I mean? It's first of all, why do I have a boner when I'm with my sister?
No, that's a, it's a lightsaber.
If like I rode with you, which would obviously happen, you know, if I sat behind you.
My pants down. I lubed up. I mean, I got ready, yo. But the seats now, you are going to get to ride separately from each other. The only place that you now have to feel slightly embarrassed is Splash Mountain because they still have that same log that you sit
Splash Mountain got
thighs.
On like that. We got on like that in the morning because we kind of did the I got the fast pass for right when you get there, you definitely have to go to the places where they have the fast pass or whatever, but. Got a fast pass for Indiana Jones.
Absolute waste of time. That is the best ride to get on the single rider. Like you can
the
get
single rider. I never knew that they had that.
It's amazing. It's
it
so
would
kind of
be creepy to go to like almost being 30. Like I feel like I would be creepy going to Disneyland by myself.
It depends on the day you go. If you specifically go because it's the high school cheerleading championships competition that's going on, then best day to go. B, creepiest day to go.
Make sure there's seniors
in high school.
Well,
creepiest day to go by yourself.
Day to sit around at the bottom of the Splash Mountain hill watching all the wet teenagers come off the ride. I mean, that is creepy, and I admit it.
Dude, don't sit in the front on Splash Mountain because it'll cave in. It went on my shorts. Looked like I peed, and I didn't. But it was definitely a fun day. I mean, it was, and what was weird too is that it's like, you know, my mom's like, oh, how did you find out about how? Because like my cousin was there, and I have a picture with my cousin and like and her two kids. But they, it was fun.
My favorite thing on Splash Mountain is if I am in the front, as soon as the flash occurs for the picture, I try to duck down forward afterwards because then the water goes up and over and hits the people behind me. I've had it happen multiple times.
You're a genius.
It's just so much fun to do this. All of a sudden, you just lean forward, and boom, everybody behind you gets that wave of water, and you sit up and you're like, oh, I'm still kind of dry. I mean, it's on a summer day, you want to get the splash, but you know, when it's 9 o'clock
in
the morning,
like 9
o'clock in the morning
so
on
like,
a February, on a rainy February, you're like, well, it's a good thing I brought my poncho, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, enough Disneyland talk. Let's get into the real issues of the day. The Avengers. This movie is dominating everything. One of the big stories that have come out this week is most of the time when you have these films that have the military involved, there is an aspect of the military that they try to be involved and they try to provide fighter jets and try to make it as realistic as possible. They actually have somebody whose real job is called the U.S. Defense Department Hollywood Liaison. So anytime a script comes through that has the needs for like some military in it, this is the guy that approves everything. They've decided that the Avengers was so fantastical that they could not support it. Their main reason was that there is an agency in the movie called SHIELD, and SHIELD is it's not really defined what the order is in the government. Like, is the SHIELD above the Army? Is the SHIELD below the CIA? And they couldn't get into it. So they could not approve any of their stuff being used in it. But they could approve themselves being in Transformers and Battleship and the Iron Man film, because
– G.I. Joe 1 and 2.
All of those movies that are just fucking ridiculous and just as dumb as the Avengers is. They could not approve their use.
I think it's because they don't like Thor.
It's very possible.
Too fantastical. Yeah, right? A demigod? No, we believe a guy can turn into an incredible Hulk. And we believe that a man can create an iron suit that he can fly around in and take like blasts from missiles and survive.
And it still works.
But a guy with a hammer? Come on. You got to be kidding.
He's the only one that can use that hammer?
That's right. Only one. Only
like
one can
pick
it up.
Like the stone?
Yeah, that's about the same plan there. It's just the idea that like they could approve Battleship, this new piece of shit that's coming with Rihanna and Liam Neeson.
That whole movie, they could just be like, before hit. I could see it like it's a video like Hunger
Hippos. Makes you wonder if that's how it's going to start off. Like they're supposed to be like they're going to have like a war game scenario out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, you're going to be in section B4. It's like, we're going to fire at G13.
Oh,
we hit their battleship. And then all of a sudden, that's when the aliens show up. Ooh.
Do you think that
do you have to sink the battleship though? Is that the whole point? Is to sink their battleship?
Yes,
or all the battleships?
All five of their.
Okay, because I thought it was just if you just sink their battleship, then you win.
No, because there's also the carrier. There's the submarine.
There's the one with
the destroyer.
Then you get all pissed off if you didn't get the aircraft carrier, but you got the one that has the two, and you're like, "Fuck! Now I have to go." You know, in this quadrant.
I remember Battleship was one of the first games I really figured out I could cheat on.
Nice.
Like, if somebody tells me like B7, I look down and that's where my submarine is. I'm like, miss. And like, I'll like, hey, what's over there? And I'll move my ship over a spot.
But then once all the white pegs where all the misses start lining up, and you're like, where are they all down in the one corner? Did you stack them all on top of each other? Wait, you ever get caught on that?
The government. Oh, sorry. I don't want to.
I was really good at figuring out exactly what type of spacing I can still fit my ships in.
That's why they created electronic battleship to keep cheaters.
And you
like
can never
you
go diagonal. It sucked.
That I agree.
You know what I mean?
It's like, why is it that you can't set it up so that these boats can cover a diagonal? Why does it have to be vertical and horizontal? Ridiculous.
New battleship game. Battleship squared. Let's do it.
I can dig it. Kind of like that. Spock version of chess.
I don't think you would ever
the Star Trek version.
You would never hit the ship dead on if it was diagonal.
But that's the point. Is it's harder because
you
basically have
never mathematically, unless you were on a graphing, could you hit the ship if it was dead?
You would need a lot more pegs. You have to do a lot. Probably fill the board up a lot more.
So the government isn't. They're not backing this movie because I think there's got to be more to it.
Well,
than they
just didn't help
they are
out.
Offended.
With it.
They are offended at SHIELD, the organization. And not what, not
does SHIELD
knowingly.
Actually stand for something, or is it just
I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. It is a government organization that's there to help protect the United States and the world, but I don't remember what SHIELD stood for.
I want to say I love how it's like 1950 over here with the newspaper, and it's like
that's how it works
over here. Okay, SHIELD stands for Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division.
There it is.
So it's
an international thing. It's like NATO or the UN. Funny.
They didn't like that.
But they're saying they don't talk about what they support or why weren't they willing to back them.
Do this movie because they didn't like the idea that this SHIELD organization, which doesn't even fucking exist, could be perceived as having more power than them in the universe.
It?
Yeah, that is the question.
Conspiracy theory people are like,
by saying no,
this is the real rule.
Does
yeah,
make
right?
you feel like these guys might be higher, and it's a
like how do they know
organization.
Shield? What are the odds that they would have the same name as our
So.
Just to throw that out there, people.
Actually, it's the fact that they're actually working Radio on a World. Super secret helicarrier like they used
and Thor does wear a shield, so it's all a propaganda on Thor.
But I mean,
damn hammer shield wearing son of a bitch.
How can they justify sending like real fighter jets out for the filming of Transformers? And you can't even be a technical
because they get paid for it.
Oh yeah,
they're going to rent shitload them from the government. The government says, "Hey, you're going to give us money, we'll take it." That's how you. That's why I'm amazed. How are you? You're not going to turn down money from these other movies, but this one that's going to make $1 billion in 3 weeks.
Around this,
you guys are willing to say, "No, we're not. We don't want any of your money." Thanks a lot, guys.
Money rules everything. I mean, it's like you see advertisements for or I don't know if this happens, but you'll see like advertisements for like MySpace on Facebook. You know, it's like shit like that. Weird. It's just kind of like you're advertising for the counter. You know, it's like you'll be on CBS and they'll be showing like an NBC. I don't know.
That is the one that gets me.
You know,
Universal.
That gets me.
Working at CBS and you're like,
Or
you're sitting home watching your U-verse television and here comes some commercials for DirecTV. I'm like, what is the intelligence here? Like, you're telling people how to get rid of you as a product.
You'll just.
And those commercials are cheap as shit to run.
You don't run an STD commercial right after the Vagisil.
I mean, what's the point in that? I looked into like the advertising rates on what these companies trade back and forth ads for. They're paying about $4 bucks an airing. It's not.
Wow.
It can't be worth $4 to AT&T to run that commercial to tell people how to switch over to DirecTV. There's no way.
But like, you're with Verizon, you get a text from AT&T, switch over.
What cable company is that though? Those great commercials, like the one with Charlie Sheen, he ends up in the bath spa because those things are comical.
They are very funny. I think they're DirecTV.
DirecTV is cool because you can actually like program like on your phone or whatever. Like what you're. But you know what though?
UVerse does the same.
I can do that with UVerse.
But like the thing is that like.
And the record four shows at once.
Yeah, that's the thing with like mine. I can only record two because I got Time Warner. What is it? Amateur Hour?
Way to decide to stay back
you're
in
still 19, on MySpace.
2008, yeah, like, dude. That's awesome. Look at you.
I know. You know what? But I have my dude. I watch so much TV; it's ridiculous. It's like shitty shows too. It's like I watch that Tough Love, where like the yellow.
Oh my god! Yeah.
How great is that show?
Yeah, it's incredible.
And then I just got into Mad Men this year.
Mad Men's been pretty awesome. I was surprised
they always cheat. It's crazy.
I was surprised to see how much they cheat at the end of this week's episode. They actually had a Beatles song in the credits. You never hear the Beatles in like movies or on TV. It just doesn't happen.
Segue in that show. Actually, the one I worked on when I did do Mad Men, and I was a busboy, and the scene was they were talking about the Beatles and
They reference all that type of historical stuff.
Yeah.
But to actually hear a Beatles song on it, I mean, I think it's either, I don't know, I don't know if it's the Jackson family who owns the copyright to it or if it's Paul McCartney, but it's such
it's
a
the
huge...
Apple company.
Oh, Apple, it's still owned by Apple. But they realize that how big this show has gotten, how would we not want to have one of these songs playing so that, you know, to get that song out there again, to get that back in people's minds.
They got paid $1.5 million to use 30 seconds of a clip from one of their songs for basically the last 10 seconds of the episode and 20 seconds of credits.
And you know what's weird too is that a friend's band, I think they used one of their songs and that was on like ABC and they got like 7,000.
That shows the discrepancy crazy. There. That's awful.
The Wonder Years, their very last episode, they played one of the Beatles songs. Yeah.
What'd you do?
No, not that one. It's I'm blanking on the song all of a sudden. I just had it in my head, but
when you think
about it, it's like you're right. You don't hear Beatles songs on there so very often because I guess they are so expensive to run.
$1.5 million
for 30 seconds.
For 30 seconds,
imagine 1 minute.
Not a bad deal,
Jake. We are not allowed to play 30 seconds of any Beatles song. I can't afford $1.5 million.
I can't afford. I can't afford like a gabilla second. It says a tiny little nothing.
I should
do
that next time. I should like have it on my phone, like the Beatles channel.
Be like $1.5 million, bitch. Okay, so yesterday, this has been a big week for our law enforcement stopping things. You had the member of Al Qaeda who was like a mole and stopped the new underwear bombing. You also had yesterday a they stopped a race war from getting started in Orlando. A couple of crazy bastards who lived near Disney World, which is, you know, obviously a place that can make you hate people from all races around the world if you have to deal with them all the time. It was a neo-Nazi organization known as the American Front 17. And they were planning on starting a giant race war between blacks and the Puerto Ricans and Hispanics down in Florida.
How creative.
Right? Yeah, I mean, like,
loophole.
Really, they really went outside the box on that one.
Yeah, I'm sure that that was going to take a lot to get going.
It'd be like trying
go to Mir High School in Pasadena. See it all day.
Or just here in downtown, not downtown L.A., but in South Central with all, you know, it's like we're going to start a race war between the Koreans and the blacks. Wow, what a surprise. That's going to be hard to get started.
Wait, don't you mean Central?
Word?
Yeah.
Or South or whatever it is. Not like they don't want to be. You know, it's crazy, though. I find it ironic because you remember how that bum got killed in Orange County?
There was like that guy who's
doing that. The one who had his throat crushed by the cops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic that they happened to find video 20 years after the Rodney King beating?
I'm sorry, what?
Basically, on the end, you see what I mean? Because they found video of him being beaten, and I'm like, really? You know, it's like they waited on the 20-year anniversary to be like, I mean, it wasn't really a race issue there, but it was just, I just found it kind of funny last night. I was like, it's been 20 years since the Rodney King beating, and now there's another beating. Like, that, you know, it's like they didn't do it like last year or when it actually happened.
Apparently, they found some people who could not get along.
Right?
Right.
But that's stupid.
I don't understand. Like, it has to be some pretty small-minded people that think that, yeah, we can get all the blacks to fight these people and we can get all the Mexicans to fight those people. Like, there's just a herd mentality amongst races and they're just going to go with what you think.
I love how, like, we're all talking about it. We're all white.
Yeah,
it's like there's no.
How many,
like,
at this table are ignorant?
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like
if you
it's kind of like me. I feel like we're like in the South and we're like, oh, these black people. You know, it's just kind of like if we had like a Mexican or like a Puerto Rican here to have their side, I think it would just be. Well, it seems like
if right now, if we got an ancestry.com, we'd all find out what the hell we really are. So who knows?
Oh, yeah. Our skin
says we're Caucasian. I'm not from the Caucasus.
I'm just making the point that it's funny that it's kind of like we're all, you know.
Hey, according to some scientists, 3 out of 4 people are actually Jewish because the 4 original tribes were all of the Jewish, not faith, but that's the bloodline.
Because he loves schnapps and bagels, right?
Word. Honestly, like, if you only looked at me in the pants, you would think I was a black guy.
Or I say,
why? Is your dick black?
Probably should get that checked out, dude. Is it like, Mr. Deed's foot?
It's about to fall off, yeah.
I always say I'm black from the waist up, Asian from the waist down.
Well, you did not get the good part of that equation.
Well, that's the whole point of it. That's where the comedy comes in.
Are you a slow runner or?
It's funny.
Are you good at ping pong?
Yeah, what's funny about that? I actually am because I remember training for a triathlon and my dad used to run marathons all the time and I was bragging. I was like, I don't mean to brag, but I'm training at a 13 minute mile. He's like, really? He's like, I can walk that.
Wow. That's not good.
I was like, because I fucking hate running. Out of all the things, like I could do a biathlon or whatever, like swimming and biking, but fucking running.
Yeah,
dude,
that's what a biathlon is.
I don't know. I knew it was bi or do or something.
I think you eat pussy for 30 minutes, then you suck dick for 30 minutes, and then you
get a massage by John Travolta.
And then I suck a dildo for 10. So it's just
finish with first place. You are the winner, sir.
A big wiener of the biathlon.
Play on words. I like that.
Isn't it fun?
I like that.
Okay, so but did anybody... Okay, one thing that's nice about being a stand-up comic and a radio host, like you do have some free time in your afternoon. I watched something fucking badass yesterday. Yesterday, I watched Terrell Owens on Dr. Phil. Did anybody get a chance to see this or hear about it?
Can we hear a snippet?
Dr. Phil's on from 3 to 4, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
How the fuck do you even know that?
Hold on. I gotta hit some mute on this.
I'll let you know.
You
tell me anytime, I'll tell you what's on TV.
Have you seen Magic City?
I can't
that,
turn
that
this
show off. Seems like it would be good. I think it would be the modern day
It's beautiful.
Mad Men. Is it on
cable? HBO,
I believe. I think.
It's called
Magic City. It looks good.
The NFL.com does not let you mute their video, so I apologize.
I always love online. You're checking out a commercial.
Ever kiss
and before the commercial, they show a commercial. I'm just, you know, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
That is a little offensive. Okay, so check this out.
Okay.
Terrell Owens, who now is trying to attempt to come back, he wants to work for any person that will take him. He's gotten old and people don't particularly care about him anymore. He went on Dr. Phil not knowing what was going to happen, just knowing that Dr. Phil wanted to talk to him. So what happens? All four of his baby mamas come onto the show and start accusing him of the worst shit in the world.
Nice.
You've never met your son. You've only seen your daughter twice in their life. And his excuses are comically awesome.
To our conversation and what he's had to say.
I have been raising our daughter to the best of my ability.
Holy shit.
I've tried to be the best mother I can be. I have always supported you, Terrell.
And he just sits there with his dumbass fucking look on his face. He has no idea this is happening.
I think you know that. I have come to your defense all the time because I realize you are my child's father. I would not wish any harm on you. I wish you nothing but the best because...
Terrell Owens accused of being a deadbeat dad.
I know how I feel as a daughter.
Do you believe what she's saying? You don't believe what she...
No, he's shaking his head no, like, I'm not a deadbeat dad. I've never met my fucking kid, and I'm not a deadbeat dad.
How many baby daddies did you...
She has four different women with children.
If he pays child support, who cares, right?
He doesn't.
Oh, he's not paying child support.
He's a deadbeat dad. Like, you don't get that title for giving money.
Now he's going to need a contract.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to give something, because this is embarrassing as hell. Could you imagine? Okay, first of all, I don't think how's somebody dumb enough to be like, hey, I want you to come on my talk show, and I'm not going to tell you what we have going on.
That's like, going on Jay Leno being like, we're going to wing it.
Yeah, I mean, even then, that's slightly better than Dr. Phil, who you know is like an ambush artist and somebody who tries to set up confrontations. And
he's a psychologist.
Yeah, this is correct. It's just a awful. Four different children from four different women, and that he... admitted at the very end, like, he hardly says anything the whole time. He says at the end, like, Dr. Phil's like, Terrell, don't you have any shame having these four different children with four different women? All he says is, I was irresponsible in that regard. And that's his big capper. His big defense is he just admits that he was.
It is a defense, though.
Hey, you're right.
I can't believe the dude's broke. I can't believe he's completely and utterly broke at this point.
Dude, this guy's buying the most ridiculous things, like the gold chains and 20 cars, and they pay. The real problem there is that they can't get away from their friends. They have to. That entire posse has to follow along behind them, and they have to pay for 30 people's existence while they're making that cash.
Well, it's kind of like MC Hammer, how he ended up going bankrupt. I mean, he had all these dancers.
Paying dudes 50 grand a year to stand on stage with their arms crossed to look tough, and that's all they did at every show.
Isn't he making 50 grand a year? Isn't he making a comeback?
He is making a comeback.
He's going to be like Nokia or something.
I think he was there a couple nights ago.
But at least a
musician has that opportunity. Like, you can still write a great song when you're 50. You can still go on tour and hit the nostalgia thing. As an athlete, you better protect your shit because you only have such a short career where you're making money that you can't afford to pay everyone.
And then if you get hurt, you're fucked.
Yep.
It's like the only guy I know in baseball. I mean, he's on Toronto now. But he's like a year older than me. And there's only like one person. But like some other ones were in the fucking minor leagues. And then like now they're not. But it's crazy.
But once it's over for them, I mean, they become, you know, barbers. I mean, they're not smart people because no one's taught them and they've had to learn anything this entire time. They just put them on the field and get some glory for their school or get some glory for their hometown. And now they didn't bother teaching them how to read.
That's part of the reason I lounge sing. And I sing like Frank Sinatra and stuff like that, too, because I know that I could do that till I die.
Well, you kill somebody. There is some nostalgic value to that lasts forever, that you can continue to do.
Yeah.
But no one's going to watch you dunk a basketball. I mean, no one's going to pay anything for that. No one is willing to pay Terrell Owens, who's a phenomenal athlete, who's probably still better than, you know, 80% of the guys who were out there. Yeah. But he's a head case, and he's a problem.
Yeah.
And now he's getting ambushed on daytime television. It's just that is That's a sad place.
Well, it's just he got into it. He had the reality show and all that crap.
It makes you wonder if, like, those cases when the mothers sue deadbeat dads, could there be a class action lawsuit against him by these four mothers because of the complete and utter lack of assistance in raising these kids? Not in not being there, fine, don't be there, but you've got to send, how you're not sending the mother of your child $10,000 a month so that the child's taken care of and she's able to, like, put a roof over their heads when you're making, you know, oodles of money, millions of dollars a year.
She doesn't have to work until they turn 18. I mean, technically,
they should.
It's $10,000 a month. I mean, come on, dude.
Oh no, I understand. But when you're making $150,000 per game or $500,000 per game, that really is such a pittance that you're sending away for a kid.
Oh no, but then also too, it kind of goes back to the whole thing where it's like, you know, that whole Club 33 thing where they're having a thing where you can pay, because I guess for businesses it's a tax write-off, but like if you want, you can pay like $25,000 to join and $10,000 a year to have. But I couldn't do that. Like I'd be happy with like having a house in Fullerton and then just, you know, because how much, it's like when you're gambling, it's like how much, you know, like you made $1,000, how much is enough? You know what I mean? It's kind of like
one of the worst sicknesses in America that is just not talked about. It's destroyed so many people's lives. I hate that it is legal. I can't stand it.
The what's legal?
Gambling, like through Vegas, like sports books and stuff like that.
I love horse racing and all that stuff too.
Do you really?
What I hate though is the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of there's people like, yeah, I'm into horse racing, and they're like, oh, I like this horse because of the fucking name. Really? Fuck you. I mean, like, I go to the track like mostly
look at
every
the
Saturday.
Of that horse. I bet that guy can run really fast.
You know what I mean? I mean,
that's a tight butthole on that horse. I mean, he's got to poop really bad. Like, he's got to get across that finish line. I'm putting my cash on him.
Right? Yeah. He ended up pooping, or my dad will be like, the horse looked at me. You know, he'll like see him on the paddock. He'll be like,
oh,
the
man.
Horse looked at me. You know,
he looked at
I
me
mean,
like
he's joking. But you know, I mean, I think what it is that I'm not sure how many people, because you only see the people who are like degenerate gamblers. Like,
yeah.
Like my friend of mine, they're like, oh, you should have bet a dollar, you would have won 200. I'm like, dude, I'm betting like superfectas, which are like, you know,
superfectas.
Well,
I don't even know what that is.
You basically have to bet the first place, second place, and third place and fourth place horse at 10 cents, and you can do every combination. It's $2.40. I go to the track, I bet $20. If I lose it, I lose. If I don't, whatever, you know? And I've actually been like getting a lot of money. But I mean, if you have four horses in a race, that's like a 50-50 shot, if you think about it. Yeah. And you're going to win like $60.
Did you happen to catch the short run HBO series Luck when it was on? Very much like that. I mean, that was really a very interesting look at like the people who actually hang out at the tracks and what they do to study the horses, the connections that they have with the people who are around the horses, even if it's just a security guard who sees something happen.
Well, they basically like were saying too that those horses like they were on them. They were like, you know, and it just happened to be where the horse ended up tripping and falling or whatever, you know, and it was screwing around. So it wasn't, you know, that big of a deal. But like what's crazy with Luck, I think what they wanted to do is they wanted to kind of still have the story but not film the horses. Maybe film the horses when they mount, but that's it, but not have them running.
Right.
Because, I mean, there are, and it's kind of sad because it's like, you know, like there was this race where like you knew the horse was limping and they had to carry it off and you're like, that horse is... That's the last time you'll see that horse. And it was like probably like a 20-1, you know.
That is sad, but not as sad as this. So I did a little more looking into Terrell Owens again.
Yeah.
And okay, so
transition.
Years ago, Terrell Owens did an interview with Sports Illustrated talking about he had a father that wasn't part of his life. And this is how Terrell Owens found out who his dad was. Terrell was fucking a girl in his neighborhood, and his dad came over, and this guy came over to his house and told him that, sorry, Terrell, you can't date that girl because she's your sister. And Terrell's like, well, how the fuck do you know that that's my sister? He says, well, because I'm her father and I'm your father. And this was some guy
Hillbilly music.
This is a guy who lived across the street from him until he was 17 years old, and he had no idea that his dad literally lived across the street from him.
Okay, but if he's living with his mom and he's right across the street, does the mom not know that the father was there? And then for 17 years, he never said anything. The mother never said anything to Terrell.
Or it's kind of like
that's
Joe
really
Dirt.
That's
the movie Joe Dirt. Thought it was his sister.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
I mean, that's crazy though.
That's just awful. I mean, that is
on both sides, though.
on all three sides, the mother's side, on the father's side, and on Terrell for fucking his sister.
I mean, he was dating her and had no idea this was his sister. Like, look, so when it happened, it was just like, I mean, how much did that fuck up his brain by just when he found that out? It's like, holy shit, are you kidding me? I actually just boned my sister.
And then once that happens to you once in life, you not start thinking about like all these random women that you're getting together with, like
you just want to go out and do it more.
You're gonna carry a picture of your dad around. Go, do you recognize this man? Yeah, no, yeah, great. Right? Let's go back to my apartment.
Yeah, let's go fuck right now.
I mean, I don't condone like these actions, but there is some responsibility on these women's part. I mean, there is a huge subsection of women that want to get pregnant from NFL stars.
Yeah, and they want to keep them around, and they know, yeah.
I mean, what the fuck? Is welfare not good enough for these women who want to have babies that have no father? Because that's what most of them get, is just that huge welfare check.
And wouldn't you think, too, that since he's like because I think it could go like one or two ways, because it's kind of, and it's kind of like the whole, I know, and I hate to reference child molestation, but it's kind of like that whole thing where it's like one, it's either, it seems like the situation where, because if I had a bad dad and I had a kid, I wouldn't want that kid to have the same thing. I'd be there for him and all that shit too.
You would hope that would be the
mentality. Well, that's what I'm saying. So this is kind of like that child molestation thing where, you know, like more than likely they were as a child molested, and then they do that because they think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's kind of the thing. But I mean, he's don't know him personally, and his lifestyle is more like kind of outgoing, and he
flashy,
a lot of chick.
Yeah, bling bling.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, if you think about it though, for four of them to get pregnant, how many chicks did he fuck for that to happen?
I'm sure hundreds.
You know what I mean, though?
Hundreds, I'm sure. And I'm sure there's even more women who have his kids that
they just haven't come out
on this show.
Yeah, he just doesn't. I mean, he didn't probably, I'm not, you know, I don't know him personally, so you don't know, because you think that hopefully, like, deep down he's a good guy, but it's like you never know with those situations.
Okay, so I too watch a shitload of crappy television.
Oh, it's so crappy.
I'm addicted to Storage Wars, like the show where...
Dude, I love watching that show.
And hold on to
this. They film it in Orange.
They film it in
Orange County, yeah.
Now, there's a new one called Storage Wars Texas.
Texas, yeah.
And I somehow missed an episode, and this random black guy started showing up on the show, and I had no idea who this black dude was. Like, he's just kind of going to all these auctions and stuff, and I tuned into an episode, the one that I'd missed in the chain. And the black dude who's on the show is Dallas Cowboy receiver Roy Williams. Like, they found a storage unit that had some helmets that had been signed by him, and they went to his house and like, hey, are these real? And they're like, yeah, these are real, so they're probably worth a couple $100 each. And they started getting into the story of how did you get these and how did you find it? And they got him into the idea of going out and going to these storage units auctions now.
So a storage unit of his own?
Though that somebody had
somebody else did.
From his career was brought to him to verify it.
Okay.
And then he found out that the job existed, and now he's been all over these shows. They went out there and they found like the one of the richest dudes in Texas to compete against now in these auctions. Mm-hmm. Absolutely idiotic.
Well, no, what would have been funny though is if it had been his locker and he'd forgotten to pay for it, and they're bringing his stuff. It's like, is this stuff yours? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Well, great. It's great. This is legit. It's like, well, where'd you guys get that? Oh, the storage locker that you forgot to pay for.
Yeah.
Like,
it feels,
wait, what? And now he's going out and buying everybody else's.
He could be like, oh, it's something else signed by him. A hockey stick signed by, you know, it's...
I would totally want to go
he signs to everything in there just so it could, you know...
If you could make things more expensive just by putting some ink on it, like, you're an idiot not to do that.
Well, you know what's weird about that, too? Like, I remember being at Angel Stadium, and my dad made a good point saying, like, that these things are too... that these baseballs are like, marked too high. Because I think that certain ones, there's like certain ranges. Like they had a Dallas McPherson baseball, you know, signed or whatever from the Angels, and it was going for $99. Now it's going for like $69. But it's just like, who's gonna go and buy? Like, I don't even know where Dallas McPherson is.
Yeah,
right.
Insane people are into,
you know, because it's even marked up to be $59. I mean, $20 if that. You know what I mean? So them to, you know, so you know that everything else that you're fucking buying from them is kind of like,
oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's got a certificate of authenticity? Whoop-dee-doo. Yeah.
I don't mean to brag, but I do have a puck signed by Gordie Howe.
That's badass.
But that's an iconic name.
And I had him put on their 801.
For the
the number of goals scored that he scored.
That's
and
awesome.
Then I was going to put Gretzky on the others. I don't know where that puck is, but he, it was at before they had the block in orange. They were signing baseball stuff or hockey stuff or whatever. But it's so funny because he was like, why do you want me to put 801? And it should have been like, because Gretzky, you know, fucking beat you, bitch. But, you know, I didn't want to. I was like 10 at the time. And I was kind of like, he knew why. You know?
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of cool to have like 801, have him, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's really cool, man.
I know people don't care about hockey too much, but.
Okay, so any of you guys want to get involved with like going to those storage auctions? Have you seen the show where you get to go and you buy these people's unpaid lockers?
If I could have like $2,000 to be able to, that's. I don't need for anything else. I'd love to be able to go down there and bid on one and possibly win it and see what I get out of it. I would imagine that a lot of the times there's nothing but crap in these things.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to really feel it out. I mean, it looks like these guys have been men and women like been doing it forever.
Yeah, you know, and they know too. They're like, oh, like you can tell, you know, and then they'll have that guy bid just so that they'll, you know, it's pride. It's kind of like two guys fighting or whatever at a bar. You're like, dude, really? Like,
and the auctioneers just love it because they get a percentage of every single one. So whenever was it Bill Hester, Dave Hester?
Yeah.
Whenever Dave just like, where you know, it'll get to like 1,600 going once, going twice, and I'll, yep. It's like, okay, so now he's jumped in. It's like.
Maybe some aged, like some old school storage. You could find that somehow.
That's like what's interesting about the text.
So what's the rule on it? They have to be there for like 3 months or some shit like that, or they haven't.
No. Unpaid 90 days.
Yeah, unpaid for 90 days, and then they can auction the stuff off. And
just like everything.
The Texas 30, 60, one 90. Looks really interesting just because there's so much old stuff from Texas down there. I mean, you're talking about a completely different part of the country. Like, you think of California, you're not thinking of a lot of old stuff. Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome to find one of those units and then go do a live remote from one of them in the morning. Okay, Michael, so where can people learn more about you?
Go to michaelamico.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook as well.
And the Twitter is?
Amico Comedy.
Okay, cool. We appreciate you coming in today, Eamon.
Thank you for having me.
Very much, man.
For having me.
Also, obviously, appreciate you coming to Michael.
Thank you.
Love having you in. And Brant, I think tomorrow we have Jeb Cardwell.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday we have our band of the week, Mae McDonough. So stick around for the rest of the week. Thanks for listening, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good one.
You are listening to Skid Row.